In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Welcome to you online. It's great to see you here this morning. All of our readings this morning are particularly profound, but I've chosen the Gospel of Mark to reflect on this morning. Today's reading from the Gospel is one of those readings that it's easy to want to skim over and move to another part of the Gospel. It begins and ends with questions about eternal life, but it's the middle part where the rubber hits the road. Jesus and his disciples are on the way. That is, they're heading to Jerusalem. It's always in the background in this part of the Gospel. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. We're nearing the end of Jesus' ministry of teaching his disciples what it means to follow him and what it means to share the good news of the kingdom of God. A man runs up to Jesus and kneels before him. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, this man is young, and in the Gospel of Luke, he is a ruler. But in Mark, he is at the start just a man. But here's the spoiler alert. We're told in a later verse that this man has many possessions. That is, he has land. Hold that thought for a moment. Well, the man kneels in front of Jesus. It's an unusual position to adopt. It's an unusual posture. Good teacher, he greets Jesus. It's a very unusual greeting to refer to someone as a good teacher. Possibly a bit of flattery here. Mark wants the reader to sit up and pay attention, to prick up their ears. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Two words stand out right from the outset. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Do, inherit. Well, rather strangely, Jesus simply recites back to him the law, that is, part of the Decalogue, or Ten Commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honour your father and mother. But did you hear anything odd in there? If you're not sure of the Ten Commandments, look above my head to where the Ten Commandments frame our beautiful stained glass. Where does it say you shall not defraud? Does Jesus not know his commandments? Of course he does. He slides this in deliberately, and again, Mark is saying, pay attention, take notice. You shall not defraud. What's going on here? We find out in this reading that this man has many possessions. In his culture, possessions almost certainly means land. Lots of land. Lots and lots of land. Land almost certainly got by absorbing smaller farms from those who can't pay their debts. Ched Myers, a biblical scholar, argues that the way people inherited or acquired land generation after generation was on the back of debt incurred by poor workers, nearby farmers, of economic exploitation, of keeping back wages, of ensuring that the poor never break free of their indebtedness. What might this reading mean for the countless dispossessed people of their land? So it's not surprising altogether that the man uses language of trade and transaction to ask what he might do in order to inherit eternal life. If he does something, he will acquire or inherit eternal life. Well, the man listens to Jesus rattle off some of the commandments and replies, Teacher, not good teacher, teacher, I have kept all these since my youth. Maybe this man really does see himself as piously keeping the commandments. But he doesn't seem to realise that Jesus has slipped a different one in, and I wonder how much self-awareness there really is. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Another strange thing for Mark to say. It's the only time in the gospel tradition that this phrase is used. Jesus loved him. Jesus isn't frustrated by the man, doesn't despise him. No. I want you to be my disciple. I want you to help me create the kingdom of God here on earth. Stay with me. I love you because you are precious and I want you for myself. You love your possessions, but I have a different love. Jesus tells him, you lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. What is Jesus really asking this man to do? Jesus is not asking the landowner to open his wallet and donate a few dollars to the local charity, or give the Henry Bucks coat off his back. It is so much harder than this, so much more wide-reaching than this, that it's revolutionary. Stop exploiting the poor. Stop engaging in land-grabbing economic practices that you benefit from at the expense of the indebted and the poor. The word poor here means bent over. It's like a beggar, someone who's destitute, as extremely opposite a wealthy person as possible. You've inherited your land and your wealth unfairly by driving the poorest into the ground. What might this reading mean for the countless poor? This landowner is not unique to Jesus' society. He's an everyman or an every person throughout the ages. In the last few days alone, Hazara communities in Dikundi province in Afghanistan have been ordered by the Taliban to leave their homes and give up their land. A lot of people, a lot of families. When a farmer whose house was being bulldozed asked where they should go as winter's coming on, the answer was hell. In Palestine, whole swathes of land owned by Palestinians have been stolen by Israeli forces. In Australia, the Territory Stolen Generation Redress Scheme seeks a return of lands as part of a broader redress scheme, but a return of lands to the First Peoples. Globally, we know that there is a catastrophic imbalance of wealth and dire need. My birth certificate places me among the very, very wealthiest in the world. The landowner is not unique to Jesus' society. Jesus points out to the man, you are not as blameless as you think. Do not defraud your neighbour. Literally your neighbour on the next small farm that should provide them with enough food and security to survive. Go, or get up. When you hear the words get up, we're talking about healing. Go and heal yourself. Change your life. Change your heart. And then come, follow me. And the man was shocked and went away grieving. A more accurate reading to shocked is his brow darkened. His brow darkened. This man's the only person who actively walks away from Jesus after Jesus says, "Follow me." His question, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" is not answered the way he'd hoped. His language of transaction doesn't work. His usual entitlement of inheritance falls flat. "Give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." It's all too much. What fool does Jesus think he is to trade his treasure on earth for treasure in heaven? It's not a matter of everybody walking around entirely free of money or clothes or possession. That's just naive. This reading demands of us to be honest about what's valued, what's revered and clung to at all costs. It's knowing who pays in the end for privilege and wealth. And then, most searing, most troubling, is doing something about it. Because somewhere along the line, who pays? Well, the wealthy landowner fades away. When Jesus looks at his friends and speaks of the kingdom of God, Peter says in his rather self-righteous, clunky way, "Look, we've left everything and followed you." And he's right. In a way, the disciples do stand somewhat in contrast to the landowner. They do want to be faithful followers. They do try to grasp this alternative view of the world and what the kingdom of God really might look like. They may not get it all the time, and they certainly don't get it at this moment either. They're astounded yet again at Jesus' teaching, and Jesus has three goes at explaining why those who cling obsessively to their wealth can't get into the kingdom of God and have eternal life. But the disciples do stay, and they do learn, and in time they will change. Jesus tells his disciples that giving up home and family and land, the three most essential things in the Middle Eastern culture, almost more important than life itself, giving up home and family and land to follow him is costly, very costly. But do it for my sake and for the sake of the good news, and you will have eternal life. What might this reading mean for us, wherever we might be? How do we make sense of it? Few of us will leave our families and homes, and we don't need to. The kingdom of God, Jesus says over and over again, is to be in active solidarity with the poor and the least wherever we are. It's not the downfall of the ASX or Wall Street or pie in the sky or silly things like that. The good news is looking to Jesus and following his way. The good news is those who, with more than they need, sharing with those who have need. And this, Jesus finally says, not to the rich landowner who has wandered away, but to his disciples then and his disciples now. This is the way to eternal life. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.